Welcome to the Church Tech Club Talk podcast, where we facilitate the motto, Ask, Learn, Do More. Our host is Jonathan Lennon, author of Effective Technology in Ministry, a practical guide, and founder of the Church Tech Club. From time to time, Jonathan is joined by exciting co-hosts, product specialists, plain old product users, and special guests to answer questions you have asked, share pro ministry tech developments, and offer inspiration that promotes reaching, growing, and serving people via intentional tech inclusive strategy.
Okay, all right. Welcome today. The topic does not have a misspelling. And our topic today is that some churches don't have a Q. So that's exactly what we meant. Some churches don't have a Q. Now, we did not say a clue. So I want to make sure that we didn't mess it up and leave off the L. We really meant Q. Okay? Because the church, is not clueless, right? But some church operations are clueless. And so we're going to talk about that. So, okay, Elder Lennon, where are you going with this? It's simple. We are talking about royalty-free and production-level soundtracks for churches and why this is important. You know, you need something to queue up at certain times in your ministry. So this is what we're going to talk about, as well as any other things related to this audiovisual that might come up. This may seem like a small thing, but a ministry of any size must be proactive in understanding the laws and governance around copyright infringement and misuse of intellectual property. And they also need fast and quality ways to fulfill their audiovisual needs in this area. And to discuss some of the factors around this topic, we are excited to have Todd Jones of Church Cues with us on today. Y'all give it up for Todd. Glad to have you, Todd.
Awesome, Jonathan. Thank you for having us.
You are welcome. You are welcome. Come on, y'all can do better than that. Come on. Yes, sir. We're definitely excited to have you on with us today. And we know you're doing some great things. We're going to talk about that as we go further here. And I'm going to pull up a little bit of your website here. I think I've got a little bit here. Let me see what we got here. Okay, yeah, so this is the Church Cues website. We're going to give you actually the link and all later, but Church Cues, you see the logo there, real nice logo with the little play button, the green play button. That's pretty cool. And you can see it looks sort of like Spotify in a way, you know, but it's got your different options and the genres of music that you can choose that you can actually access on this website. And then he, of course, has some other things he's going to talk to us about today as well that they have available, actually, right now. And so you can check that out as we get to it. That's a little bit of his website and his logo. And so, Todd, we really want to welcome you today.
Thank you.
Welcome, cuz, to the show. And I am not exaggerating, you guys. This is really my cousin. Yep, Todd is a first cousin by way of his father being my mother's brother.
Yeah.
Good people. Glad to have good people on. And no, there is no corporate or entrepreneurial nepotism going on. Okay.
Well, at least they shouldn't be.
I try to welcome a lot of people to the show. You know, some folks don't respond, but that's, you know. So we are talking to Todd today because he has a legitimate technology-based service that helps churches, and we want you to hear about it. Mm. Now, no worries. We've got some more great tools, tips, and tutors lined up to help your church or your nonprofit to use technology to further the reach of the gospel in these precious last days. But today, Todd and I recently, Todd and I were talking, and I got excited when I heard about an innovative approach that he had to help churches appropriate audiovisual sounds and other assets legally and easily. So I invited him to come on the podcast to share. So, you know, that especially small to mid-sized churches in our audience could realize that it is possible to access quality and affordable tracks and digital assets for all types of occasions. And we'll let Todd give you the scoop later on what, you know, these digital assets are. And we'll even give you a taste of them. You can always get to our podcast on YouTube at tctctalk.thechurchtechclub.com. So before we even get started, I'm going to make a pitch, and I want to encourage all of you, small or mid-sized churches, to consider the training that I've heard Todd and Church Cues recently released. And again, Todd will tell you about that later on, but I wanted to kind of put that right up front so I don't forget to give that plug, that you check that out. Don't take it for granted what we're talking about today. It's something you need. Now, awesome. I usually like to add a note that assures our listeners that we are both balanced and sincere believers. We're disciples. We're followers of Christ. We never attempt to bend the word or the truth of God to fit culture, fads, or styles. We promote holy living and adoption only of tools in tech that can draw, build, and grow people, not attention, okay? All that we offer is part, you know, is a part of that press toward the mark, right?
Yeah.
That knowing of Christ better and better, all right? Now, this is important to mention. I know this is taking a little longer. I usually don't get this deep, but I want to tell you that this is important to mention because some don't believe that modern or digital tools are critical to the church's fulfillment of the Great Commission. And I won't argue, okay, that you could do all of this. You could do it all. You could do everything that you need to do for God without any technology.
Yeah.
But why? Sure, some have gone too far with tech initiatives, but we know him. Capital H-I-M. We know him, and we are going to do whatever we can within the tenets of the doctrines of the faith to make him known.
Yeah.
Any attraction we gain is only to detract from the cares of this life. That's all we're trying to attract.
Yeah.
Detraction from the cares of this life and to draw men and women to the Lord. So get ready for a very cool lesson on how to be legal and have access to tracks that you can queue up in your ministry. And we're coming back in just a minute to get that going. So let's get one word from our sponsors and then we'll get right into it for today. Hang on.
Does your church or ministry have tech questions about a specific product, the right product to choose, or just want to see what others are doing with technology in their ministries? There's a club for that. The Church Tech Club is a community portal where you can collaborate in an ad-free social feed, self-paced learn via video lessons, and discover practical ways to effectively use technology for enhancing your ministry outcomes. Learn more and sign up for free or paid tiers today at thechurchtechclub.com.
Okay, we're back with Todd Jones of Church Cues, and we're going to start off with a really simple question. This is probably the craziest question you ever heard in your life. And it's so simple. It's a one-word answer, but maybe not. You might have multiple answers for this, but I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
What is your favorite fruit?
My favorite fruit.
Your favorite fruit.
Wow.
Now, I think I have an answer, but I don't know. I may be totally wrong.
I hope you don't think it's because of Florida that I would say oranges or something like that, because that's not really
that,
it.
That didn't work.
No, that didn't work. I do like myself a good peach, though.
Really?
I do like myself a good peach, though.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, peaches are, I think peaches is Georgia. Georgia's
yes.
Peach state. So since I happen to live in Georgia, now I'm from South Carolina, but hey, you know. Peaches are good. Now, I don't like picking
peaches. I think I burnt out on the oranges back when I was a kid.
Okay. Yeah, see, we would come to Florida and I'd be, you know, roaming through you guys' orange trees. You know, I didn't know that wasn't your favorite fruit. So, okay.
Yeah.
Now we know. All right, peaches. That's good. Peaches are great. You can do a lot of things. Cobblers and...
It's very versatile.
They probably have peach coffee now or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think so. Okay. So anyway, good. So we know a little bit about you there. You like peaches, even though you're from Florida. Okay. All the Florida folks listening, please don't stop listening to our show. We still love oranges too. I like oranges.
Definitely.
All right. Now, there are certainly stories, Todd, of mm-hmm. churches and nonprofits that have found themselves liable
mm-hmm.
because of infringement on the IP or the intellectual property of mm-hmm. others, especially in the area of soundtracks played on social media or other mediums. What can you tell us about the climate of these infractions today? And what steps might be important for us to keep in mind?
Okay. So the climate, it kind of gets worse and worse as time goes on, because the creators of the intellectual property, you know, your songwriters, you know, music producers and things of that nature, just because the internet made everything available, it doesn't mean that they're not genuinely concerned about whether or not they were, you know, compensated, or just, even if we take compensation off the table, just rightly respected for the content that they created, right?
Right.
And so, you know, it gets, it over time, you know, you go through this whole era of maybe, you know, it doesn't seem to matter. Nobody seems to care about it. I can just kind of download this track, use this piece of content, use this video, whatever it might be. And yeah, it takes a little while for people to kind of catch up with you for doing these kinds of things. But after a while, they do catch up. There is a great concern that I created content, or person A created content and person mm-hmm. B did not rightly compensate them for it. And, you know, it's the same as anything that you might have done, any work that you might have did. You know, imagine I went to work, you know, all week long, you know, 5 days, you know, 8 hours a day, and they short me, you know, a day's wages. I feel some kind of way about that, right? Because I did show up. And so, and that's kind of the thing. Eventually it catches up with the person that might be infringing upon a copyright. And, you know, when I say catches up, you don't want to find out that there's a problem behind it. You know, I won't get into one of the stories that I heard while I was in Nashville, you know, around this thing. But it had to do with a smaller church that was playing content on the screen. The lyrics were up on the screen and it seemed like no big deal. But this was in Nashville, and it just so happened that one of the writers of this content shows up at the church. Mm-hmm. And they're in the church and the lyrics come up on the screen and everything. It's his song. It was written by him, blah, blah, blah. Come to find out that they didn't have a license to display the content on screen, even displaying the lyrics. They didn't have a right to display those lyrics without giving credit to the songwriter. And so while that songwriter didn't, you know, he's at church and he has a good heart about it all, he's just kind of letting it all go. But the publisher owned the other half of the song, and they weren't so much like they were going to let it go. And so they did. They sued the church, and I believe the church was out like $80,000, basically for not having a license to display the lyrics on screen. So this wasn't even just, you know, this prior to, you know, all of the YouTube days and the streaming and all that kind of stuff. But my point is that it is an industry. Somebody has made an investment. Somebody whether the content creator, the publisher, some money was put on the table. Yeah. And trust me, they're not just going to let a lot of stuff go. And so you want to be careful about that. And that, I'm mentioning that all from just kind of the legal aspect of it. Mm-hmm. There's the other side of it, you know, Jonathan, where we as believers, we were supposed to have integrity. We were supposed to do this the right way. We were supposed to be genuinely concerned about whether or not I infringed upon my brother's copyright or whatever it might be. I was supposed to go through the steps necessary to make sure that I did this on the up and up, because I represented the kingdom of God as well. So, you know, you want to first start with a care for the way that I conduct myself from a place of integrity. So I want to start there. And then after that, it's easy to a degree, because now I'm just going to find the steps that I need to take to make sure that I do it legally and right and on the up and up. Because my name, the kingdom that I represent, the Savior that I live for, all of this stuff is on the line, and I want to do it right now, you know?
Yes, yes. Awesome, awesome. That's powerful. A great example there that lets us know this is real. I mean, and to tell you the truth, it probably could be worse. I mean, we've gotten, yeah, I think, away with a lot.
Well, yeah. And I guess that's the nature of sometimes when things like that happen, is if I got away with it, nobody's really looking for me. Nobody's really going to, you know, chase me down. They're not, you know, Michael W. Smith, he's not going to be waiting outside in the parking lot for me when I get out of the church. I get that. But it still doesn't negate the fact that I said I was going to serve God, and I said that I was going to build the kingdom. And it, you know, I don't want to go through less than honorable ways of gathering the tools necessary to build the kingdom. I want to make sure that I'm doing that on the up and up. There's a blessing behind that. It reminds me when I first started out in all of this, Jonathan, I was and I wasn't the only one, so I believe me, guys, everybody, I know what this is. I know what it's like. So back in the day, we didn't want to pay for production music software. So what we would do was get cracked versions of software. So somebody somewhere had a way of getting a hold of something that maybe you could put in a fake license or something like that, get it to work, that kind of thing. So I lived that life for a very, very long time. And then I moved from Nashville back down to Florida. And a friend of mine partnered with me to open up a small recording studio. And when I opened it up, I go, God, can I really ask you to bless this business if I am working it in a way that really isn't right? And turns out most of the software that I had that was illegal, I didn't need it. I mean, how many EQs do you need to EQ a track, right? So most of those things were inside of maybe the piece of software maybe that I was using, whether it be Pro Tools or some other digital platform. The basics were there. And I said, okay, I'm done with pirating software. I'm going to use what I have, and I'll pay for what I need when I'm able to pay for it. And It just did a 360 for me and the way that I worked. And so that does a lot. I mean, it just, to know that what you're doing it with integrity, it means a lot. And then you can trust that what I've set out to do, I did it on the up and up, and I can trust that God is honored by that. And then whatever favor and help that he's already promised to give, that's going to be there. But man, if I short circuit all of that by the way that I do business, then, you know, man, that's an awful lot to put on the line when God said he was going to be there to help you, that whatever you put your hands to do, he'd make it prosper. You know, okay, well, don't put your hands to do the right thing and then with the other hand do the wrong thing. So,
Amen. That's powerful. It reminds me of the cable thing where people would kind of run a cable from one house to the next. And,
we don't want to do that. So it's been going on for a while, right? You know, and but to my point, eventually it has to stop. You know, everybody's not going to let that ride.
That's right. So this is good. You know, we definitely want to encourage all of you out there to make sure you're on the up and up. I mean, you couldn't have said it better, Todd. I mean, we really want to be, we're representing Christ, and if we don't have some type of plan, or we're not really, you know, we're just kind of grabbing stuff out of the air, that's not good. And we don't want to do that. So very good. Very good. Now, in my book, I talk a little bit about strategic planning and budgeting. And, you know, this is one of those things that you definitely want to put in your budget, because it's not always cheap, you know, like sometimes you have to pay a little bit. Now you can, and I know some of the things you're going to offer and show us may have some really good pricing and stuff, but I really think that it's time for churches to think about it at least. I mean, you can't just have it as a secondary thing, say, maybe we'll do it, maybe we'll consider this or whatever, but audiovisual and anything around production, so on, really needs to be a part of your yearly planning, so that when the time comes, you won't be kind of half doing God's work. You know, you'll really kind of be able to get what you need to be able to get things done. So later you may want to talk about action steps around those types of things, but be sure to give us anything we need to let us know. So I'm going to ask you some more questions in just a sec. We're going to hear one more ad here.
Okay.
Did you know that technology affords a way for you to wear the representation of the gospel message everywhere you go? That's right. As ambassadors of the Kingdom and Will line of top quality wearables, the Church Tech Club can help you represent in style. Whether hats, shirts, or hoodies, you might as well save while you profile. Simply scan the QR code or visit Kingdom and Will at kw.thechurchtechclub.com today. That's kw.thechurchtechclub.com to get a 10% discount and start repping the Kingdom in style today. All right, so I'm going to play a little bit of, I think it's called Back in My Day. It's a sound clip from one of the content providers, creators there on the Church Q website, and I picked this up. I said I want to let some of our audience hear some of the sounds that you guys offer that are available for people to license. So this is just a little short clip. I'm going to play just a little bit of this. Can you hear that? Do y'all hear that? Isn't that great?
ChurchQs.com.
Now you got that in there because you got to pay to get that taken out, but this is nice music. And so I'm gonna turn this down a little bit. I love this because there's so many
churchcues.com
places in ministry where you need some nice sounds. It could be an event you're having, it could be a youth program, it could be the lead up to the church service, or you know, any period of
churchcues
where you need that nice sound and you wanna know that music is right. No, somebody's not just somewhere doing something, but somebody that loves the Lord is putting this thing out for you, okay? So this is great. I love that clip I just said. I got to let them hear this because I thought that was really, really good. But anyway, so we've heard a bit already about the state of IP, again, intellectual property, and copyright infringement in the church and nonprofit arenas. So the question becomes, how do we circumvent the problems that this may cause? Or maybe more directly, how has this impacted what you have built or inspired even, what you have built with Church Cues to minimize or eliminate this challenge? Now, we're going to talk about the specific training you offer later. This is more about, you know, your website, the concepts behind your approach for this media acquisition that we can get now, and, you know, some of your journey to bring these services to of AV and other areas of church ministry.
Okay, so, the reason I guess all of this started really was because I spent a number of years as a composer for commercial music. Commercial music is just like the things that you just described. This is things that would run in broadcast, things that might be on a TV spot, things that might be on a church or a ministry having programming available on an app or something like that. So And it's not the same kind of music. It has influences from all of the genres that we know about, but it's not really the same kind of music because there's something kind of specific that has to happen. It needs to grab the listener while not getting in the way of the voiceover or the product being sold or what have you. And so it's got to be just enough to get them interested without necessarily taking away from the content that's really, what I like to say, is on stage. If there's a cue or a piece of music that's being used for, say, church announcements, the highlight is the church announcements. It's not necessarily the piece of music. This started because I was doing commercial music. I was writing music for commercial music libraries, and not a lot of people knew about that. It was really by just the grace of God that I even got involved in it. In that small studio that I told you about, there was a producer that walked in, and he said, "Have you ever considered writing library music?" I was like, "What's library music?" and he says, "I'm going to connect you to a music director." And I got connected with this music director, and basically, I don't know, Jonathan, for like the next 6 or 7 years, I was just writing music for a music library that was called, maybe you were familiar with Digital Juice, but it was a platform that had music stack tracks, Photoshop files and stuff, video content, camera. They've since, I think last year was when they closed down for good, but at one point, that was what I did, and I was just writing original music for the library. Anyways, I fell in love with commercial music. I can't even watch TV without hearing the track and thinking about the arrangements and the pieces of music that are, and just sit and watch TV and close your eyes, and you'll see just how much music is carrying the message that's there. Wow. And so I loved it, and I did it and continue to do it. I still write for a number of music libraries outside of my own. There's still tracks that have been carried and things like that. But the point was, because I was so heavily involved in ministry and everything, I'm trying not to say this the wrong way. I hated going to sites and finding that maybe the music and stuff was there, but also there was a lot of things that didn't agree with my core convictions and my values. And so I thought, well, what if the church could go to a place where composers and producers and things like that had similar convictions and things? And so when that music got married to that message, at least we knew that the message and the music were, you know, consistent, that they work together, that, you know, and it doesn't mean, I mean, there's a lot of music libraries out there. There's always content to find. But people within the faith-based arena, they would like to know, I feel in my heart, they would love to know that something was out there that agreed with and went along with their core values and their beliefs. And so that was the reason that I did it. I was already writing music for music libraries. I just thought, I don't want to compete with all of the other libraries that are out there. There's plenty of them that are out there. But nobody cares as much about the message of the gospel as people that are involved with the gospel. And so, and we all know musicians, we all know, you know, but a lot of times the musicians, they have no idea how to get involved in this area. So it's just as much a desire for me to involve musicians and other composers to show them that working for the kingdom is a thing. It matters. It can be lucrative. We still work and do everything else that you have to do. But I wanted to make that available just as much for composers and producers as I did for those that would consume it via the audience and also, say, a broadcast network or a church or whatever it might be. And so it's just a way to me of trying to bring all of those things together. We do it all the time. Being a musician myself, you sit there and you're at the church and you play the songs, you go through the praise and worship set, but then the pastor starts speaking at the very end. You got to come up with the right mood and the right vibe to fit up under what he's doing, not get in the way, but help to convey the heart of what, I mean, it's, and that's what it is. And so, you know, of course, this thing, it spreads out into all kinds of things like faith-based programming and things like that. You know, would love to compose for things like that. I've only done one movie in my life where I composed for an independent faith-based film. I've been able to write for theme parks and different things like that. And so, you know, it's just writing music is like Disney World to me. There's a lot out there that you can do. Yeah. You don't have to get bored with it. If you get aggravated with one aspect of it, there's always something else to learn and something else that you can do. And so it came from that place. There was a few different reasons for why, but I fell in love with it. There are many musicians that could do this type of work, but they have not learned that it's available, maybe, or they don't know how to necessarily get involved. And then maybe even sometimes they are so interested in being the quote-unquote producer that they haven't figured out, how do I arrange a track that doesn't get in the way of everything else? It's not so much stylized to me, but it's stylized to serve the purpose of supporting something else. You know, I think it's awesome. You know, I might be the only person that thinks that it's awesome, but it's what I've been involved with for a long time. And so I hope that I can get other people involved with it as well. Yeah.
Oh, I believe you will. I believe you will. In fact, that raises a question. And you don't have to go into a lot of depth on, payouts or anything like that. But I would assume you are looking for people to bring their content to you and become a partner or a content creator for what you offer on your website. Is that correct?
Yes. And I've not said a lot about it as of yet. There are some composers that I work with and that I've been kind of working with on a one-on-one basis. And as I push further into this, the article that just came out or the little course that came out with Church Visuals in partnership with churchvisuals.com. As this starts to pick up and grow a little bit, I continue to seek out opportunities for third-party content music users where I can partner with those business entities directly. Again, just another way of not fighting with everything that's already out there as far as music libraries are concerned, because a lot of times the third-party platforms say like sermon shots and different things like this. Sometimes music is already incorporated within the website. So looking for opportunities to partner with companies like that is what I'm trying to do. I haven't announced it a lot because the minute I announce it, I will get people coming out of the woodwork, just coming up with a way of doing that. And I know right now, I don't want to make it to where it's say like where they're just hosting music on the site. Right. I'd rather have a relationship. So a contract agreement for a certain number of pieces of music, they hold for a while, see how they sell, that kind of things. Much like some of the other libraries that I've written for, but I'd rather it be more of a personal thing than something where, okay, here's a site, you can put your music up and we'll just see what happens. You know, so we want to try to approach it a little bit differently. But yes, to answer the question, yes, I am looking for
Understood. That's great. Wow, so that's good because you're going to hit it from both ends, the actual ministries that need to have the tools, and then those who are content providers that are looking for ways that they can actually put out what they've passionately put together for God, for others. So
definitely.
Good stuff. So we know a little bit more about you, Todd, and what you've built for access to royalty-free production-level sound and other digital assets. And again, we're going to close in a little bit with the specifics of some of the training you and your team recently released. And I had actually forgotten about it's a partnership with Church Visuals.
Yes.
Which is really great because I want to hear a little bit more about them and that product and plan opportunity for people. For right now, given you are in the trenches in this area, what may be a few of the more critical suggestions you may have for those affected church leaders, staff, workers who may be listening in our audience? Maybe even if you have to repeat some of what you've already said, what are some critical things that they should be thinking about around these things?
I think just the main thing is just to kind of come to the realization that it needs to be driven from a place of your own integrity. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. If I just tell you, hey, this is the right thing to do, so do it. Okay, that hasn't worked for forever. So it has to be that, you know, that we desire to do the work for ministry with the utmost respect and integrity for our own work, for the, for the copyright owners or whatever it is. And so starting there, then we start to figure out, okay, well, then what could I do, or what are some of the ways that I can legally access the content that I need? And there are plenty of legal ways to get access to the content. You said that whether or not it was put in the budget or not. It's one of those things where I grew up in churches, basically, it was never in the budget to compensate a musician for what was needed. But you always needed a musician, typically, to run the services. And what I found out, and some people are, Jonathan, they're still in this mindset, but what I found out was that if you were willing to make the investment, it would pay out in the long run. And same thing with musicians, same thing with content creators. It doesn't matter. Find a place to secure a license somewhere for whatever the assets that you're going to use. And, you know, there is no necessary huge amount of loyalty all the time to those libraries. It's just, but you need a way or a place to be able to legally access the assets that you need to build the content that you're trying to build. And so, and there's ways of doing that. And so when you license it that way, you're on up and up. You're going to be blessed. The ministry is going to be blessed by working that way. But again, nobody could make you do it. You have to think, I want to do this right. It was the same reason that I stopped using crack software. God, you gave me something to do. How can I best do this in a way that's going to honor you, honor the kingdom, you know, that I can be honorable in what I'm doing? And so it does have to start there. There's plenty of places that you can find what you need if you endeavor to do it the right way, you know.
Awesome. This is good. We are talking to Todd Jones, and he is the CEO, the content creator for and of, and I said a lot of things before we got on the air, the preacher, the teacher, the singer, he's got it all. And the skills, now we're learning he knows his stuff. He was working in the commercial arena, building libraries that we probably have touched in some way and we don't even know it. But we're glad to have you sharing with us. And we're going to come right back in a second and kind of wrap this up. And I want to hear some more about this, some of this training you've got available. And we're going to play another clip from your awesome. Website. So let's listen to a quick ad, and then we're going to come right back.
What if I told you there was a way to get personalized, hand-holding support to build a long-term, big-picture strategy for technology in your ministry? Well, there is. The Simple Strategic Approach Masterclass is included in the premium tier of the Church Tech Club and provides direct access to personal training and coaching. The 6 steps outlined in Jonathan's book, Effective Technology in Ministry, A Practical Guide, come to life as you are guided through a series of exercises to help you establish and implement the tech that promotes leading, reaching, and growing people effectively. Learn more and click the Give Me Access button at LunnonServices.com/SSA Masterclass to see a personal detailed video about this service. That's spelled LONONServices.com/SSA Masterclass.
All right, so we are going to come into one more. I'm going to play one more clip, and this is the redeemed sound clip from the Church Q's website. This is one of those pieces you can license, and this one, let me get it started here.
ChurchQ's.com.
Woo! I love this. Did y'all hear that?
ChurchQ.com. ChurchQ.com.
Now, I'm a drummer, so I like the all that bass you had.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So I don't know if y'all heard it. There's more. But he had in there, it said, I think, T-minus something to launch. I was like, what? We're definitely going to get this one for our church because our praise team leaders, they love things like this. Excitement before service starts, that build up for praise and worship. So that's great. I love that. I love that. I could see so many places just that little clip right there could be used. And I appreciate you, Todd. This is good stuff. You know, it's great when people step out on faith and they do what God has given them, because it's gonna pay off, you know? It's gonna pay off. Yeah. It's gonna pay off. Now, Todd, I want you to tell us about your new training options for church leaders, workers, staff, audiovisual teams, or whoever it's supposed to be for, you tell me. explain what this is and why it is important when we talk about the training that you have. You can give the name or whatever to help us to know more about it. And I'll make sure we put the links and all where other people can get access to them as well.
Okay. So this was a partnership with a company called churchvisuals.com. And Church Visuals is a company that provides visuals and graphics for churches and ministries. So this would be like your, like sermon series graphics, graphics for, announcement reels, just anything that's going to display on the screen. That's their whole thing, was making sure that you looked as a church as professional as possible. And so you can license things through their website for your church or ministry, a Bible study series, just sermon series, just whatever it is. So if it was going on the screen, they pretty much make it, or they can make it. And so there are a few companies out there. This was one of the more cost-effective ones. I think they started out being called 1230 Media or something like that. So they went through a rebranding and everything. So at any rate, that's what it is. And a friend of mine introduced me to them because he thought that the music and everything that I provided might be something that was a good thing for people to know about when they were going to the site. The site doesn't provide music or anything like that. It just provides church visuals. And so I met the owner, Carl, through a mutual friend, and we got talking about things, and there's a lot of stuff that was just really great about the conversation. We continued to work together on just different things here and there. And then he asked, could you speak to legally crafting content for a church? And I go, yeah, sure I can. I've had to, deal with that a lot in my own career. And so that was how that little series or whatever got birth, legally crafting content from your church. And a lot of the same stuff that I shared with you earlier in our discussion here today, just to help people become aware. We can't make people do anything. We just want to make sure that people are aware of that there's a right way to do it, that there can be repercussions when things aren't done the right way. And that's really what it was all about. And me speaking to those things was a good way for them to be able to make mention of my website and make mention of what I'm doing over at Church Cues. And that has started things. And again, I'm looking for a lot more to come from that whole relationship. But that's what it's been about, just finding ways to kind of help educate people about that. And we're constantly dealing with volunteers. With one of the things that in the discussion we talked about, or that I talk about in the course, is what do I do when I have a volunteer that they don't have the skill set that a professional might have in a particular area, whether it's graphics or whatever it might be. They don't have the skill set, and my church doesn't have the budget to pay for somebody to necessarily come in. And this was letting them know, okay, so here's some of the things you can do. Church Visuals creates content for this type of a thing. You can get a subscription, or you can do it monthly. You can do it, piece by piece. It just offering ways to make sure that you have the tools necessary to present the gospel in a good way. Because here's the deal. I don't care how big your church is, whether you got big budget or no budget, the message of the gospel is still it's still a value. I can't put this message out with any less sincerity just because I don't have a whole lot of budget. So we've got to figure out how then that we can make sure that what's needed is there, because the message doesn't get any less important just because I don't have deep pockets as far as that budget is concerned. And the more that you do these things in a professional way, and trust me, I've seen it happen time and time over again. Honor what you do, and people will show up to help you do what you're doing. Mm-hmm. They will. They come out of the woodwork. But do it in a bad way, do it in a shady way, people won't want to help you. You'll see that kind of thing. You kind of repel people. But take pride in what you do. Be honorable in what you do. And in my career, my time in ministry and outside of ministry, I've seen people show up over and over again because I care about what I'm doing. And that seems to be, for whatever reason, and I know the reason, but it's infectious. People want to be around people who care about what they're doing. And so, you know, when we do that, you might think that you don't have the money for it, but you do. It'll show up. And here's the thing. This is ministry. It wasn't about your money anyways. It was about you doing the kingdom and God being faithful to provide what was needed when we're faithful to step out and do what he asked us to do. So, you know.
Yeah, that's great. Todd, I was going to actually ask you what were some possible outcomes, and you basically hit some of them right there. I mean, there's some internal outcomes just with the body of Christ and, you know, that side of it. And then there's those outcomes of people coming to know God because we're doing it with our whole heart. We're putting like we would go to our jobs and work and put forth our best. We're bringing that same. And I think about David. You know, David was sincere about what he did for God. When he wrote those Psalms, you know, it wasn't like he was playing around. I mean, he was serious about what he was doing.
He was serious about it.
He brought in musicians. He had, you know, there were people playing harps and stuff, I guess. I don't know what the instruments were, but they were psaltery. Is that right?
Anyway, something like that.
It was real. And when you read it today, when you see it, when you sing it today, it has impact. It wasn't just half done.
Yeah.
He invested.
Yeah. The reverse is true too. One of the outcomes, I will mention this. Everything I learned, Jonathan, a lot, I worked as a professional video editor for about 10 years for a company called Encore. And the jobs, I cannot count the jobs that I've had in this, everything that I've done professionally, I've had to touch web design, audio, composition, graphics, and video. Mm-hmm. Every one of those jobs, I've had a professional career doing it, and every single job came from what I learned to do in the church. It was based on a necessity. Maybe they didn't have the budget for it, but I had to jump in and learn how to and figure out how to do what I needed to do. But that translated at a time in my life when I needed to work for another corporation, it translated to jobs that where I was skilled and equipped to do things in the secular industry. So there's just, I mean, do this the right way, and I don't even think you can put a cap on the what it does for you and what it can do for you. So I would endeavor. It certainly is worth more than that crack software that I was trying to get away with using. So
That's good. So that's great. I talk a little bit about return on investment versus return on mission, ROM.
Yeah.
So ROI, and then there's ROM. And we want that ROM. We want return on mission. We want to see some real things happen, and that's, I love it.
Wow.
This is good. Thank you, man.
Yeah.
So, in case our listeners want to follow up with you about something that you said, follow you on social media, or even sign up for the course that you offer in conjunction with Church Visuals, where can they find you online? I'm going to pull up what I have here, and I want to make sure this is right. We'll make sure this gets out to everyone here. Let's see. I've got churchcues.com. Is that one correct?
Yes, that one is correct. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I am in the trenches on a lot of this stuff right now. So that's the best way to make contact through the website, the social media channels. Some of the other ministry things have had me a little bit busy lately. And so I've been working a bit more on those than some of the social media channels for Church Cues in particular. The course, if you're looking for that course, though, that course can be found at churchvisuals.com. And that's the company that I partnered with. And, you know, definitely if your church is looking for visual assets, definitely check them out, because there's content that's there that they can provide as well. So, and like I said, they are the visual aspect of things. That's what they do. And my passion these days is still about the music and everything. And so that's what we're looking to try to dig our heels into.
Awesome. That's wonderful. I think you guys have something here, and people need it, and we're going to definitely make sure we push the word out there.
Awesome.
Wow, what great information. Thank you, Todd.
Good. We enjoyed it.
Yes, sir. there you have it, guys. Another great episode of the Church Tech Club Talk podcast. Todd Jones of Church Cues truly gave us the scoop on critical factors around royalty-free and production-level soundtracks and other audiovisual digital assets. And so there's some great things that he, as well as churchvisuals.com, churchcues.com, and churchvisuals.com, they partnered up. They're doing some great things. Check it out. And he said some things. I jotted some notes down. I won't be able to go over all of this, but definitely care for others' right to be compensated. We talked a little bit about integrity when it comes to these things. We learned that he worked in the commercial library music provision arena. And then we learn investing pays off. So pay musicians, pay content creators. Don't just, you know, treat them like...
Take care of your people, right?
There you go. That's the quote. Take care of your people. We don't want to be clueless.
Right. that works.
I'm avoiding saying clueless. Take care of your people. Take care of your people. And also, I love this quote. Honor what you do, and people will show up to help you do it. Wow.
Yeah.
So thank you so much, Todd.
Thank you.
We are looking forward to one of these days having you back. And just thank you.
We would love to be back.
Yes, sir. And earlier I mentioned Kingdom and Will. And so don't forget, we've got hats and all that. We're an ambassador for them. Check it out. Go to kw.thechurchtechclub.com and you can see all the goodies out there if you want to have something to wear the kingdom wherever you go. All right, so that'll do it. And I want to say again, thank you, Todd, for being with us, and Church Cues for sharing with us. Kind of a side thank you to Church Visuals as well for being a part of this. We appreciate you as well. Until the next time, God's favor to you.
Thank you.
All right.
That brings us to the end of this TCTC Talk episode. Thanks to our guests, highlighted companies, and our amazing audience, that's you, for joining us during today's exciting discussion of relevant technology topics for ministry. We hope the value in this episode was evident and beneficial to you. As always, thanks for listening to the Church Tech Club Talk Podcast. Subscribe to our podcast on your favorite listening platforms or find all episodes at lunnonservices.com/TCTC Talk. That's spelled lonnonservices.com/TCTC Talk.
you enjoy our show, please rate and review us on your favorite podcast listening platform. Be sure to come back next week for a fresh discussion of technology for ministry. Until then, Jonathan wants to remind you that the Church Tech Club's motto is about motivating you to do three things: ask, learn, do more.